Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. The story I've got for you today is the story of the steepest street in America. It's in Oregon City. You can't drive on it, though. You can't even walk on it. The only way to use this officially platted city street is by riding America's one and only municipally owned elevator. This story was first published on October 10th, 2010. Here we go. In the record books, you'll find a street in Pittsburgh listed as the steepest street in the United States. It slopes upward at 18.5 degrees, which is a 35% grade. That's pretty steep. But the record books are wrong, because the steepest street in the U.S., and indeed the world, is Elevator Street in Oregon City, with a grade of, 90 degrees. It may share the honor with some other vertical streets, but it's an ironclad guarantee that no street in the world is steeper. 90 degrees is as steep as it gets. The laws of physics are very persnickety that way. Elevator Street is officially mapped and platted, and it's 130 feet long and runs straight up the side of a cliff, and during the height of the tourist season, as many as 1,300 people use it every day. To do that, they have to ride the only municipal elevator in the country. Here's the story of how that elevator came about. In the mid-1800s, Oregon City was originally settled on a narrow shelf of land just downstream from the Willamette Falls. On the west side was the river, smooth and lazy and very deep after its mad dash down the falls, oozing toward Portland and the sea. On the east, just a few dozen yards away, was a sheer rock wall, about 100 feet high. Well, it wasn't long before the settlement got too big for that shelf above the river and people started settling at the top of the bluff. And that was fine as long as a person was okay with taking a long, steep, slippery pathway down and back up again every time he or she wanted to come to the business district. Later on, sets of stairs were built to make things easier, and one guesses they did. But at more than 700 steps, they were quite literally not for the faint of heart. One could go around the cliffs to the south, but that involved hitching up the buggy and spending some time on it. It was a problem. By 1912, it was a major problem, and the city decided to do something about it. It presented the residents with a ballot measure to build an elevator at the bluff. But this was shot down first, but then it passed finally 6 months later. Then the trouble really started. Most everyone agreed the city needed an elevator somewhere, but most everyone also thought it should not be near his or her house. And by this time, wealthy families had staked out the prime real estate on the top of the bluffs with a gorgeous view of the city, high enough above the railroad tracks not to be too noisy. And these folks were especially adamant. You are not ruining my view with that thing. Finally, the city had to force the issue through the Oregon Supreme Court. In late 1915, the elevator was ready to go. It was a big steel and wood affair and was actually powered by water pressure supplied by the municipal water system. It took 200,000 gallons to move the elevator from the bottom to the top. Every time the elevator started up the shaft, water pressure in the surrounding houses would drop substantially. And also, it took the elevator as much as 4 swaying, jerky minutes to crawl up that bluff. That's 4 to 6 inches per second, about a third as fast as a guy climbing a ladder. At the top, there was a 35-foot catwalk to cross 90 feet above the railroad tracks before the traveler was back on solid ground. Nor was the thing particularly reliable. For those days when the elevator decided to stop moving halfway up, there was a handy trapdoor for folks to climb out of and a narrow ladder that would take passengers down to, I guess you'd say, down to safety. Despite these drawbacks, though, Oregon City was very proud of the thing. On its opening day, pretty much the whole city, population at the time just under 4,000 people, came out to take a ride. Still, it didn't really become popular until 1924 when the city electrified it. This brought the commute time from the bottom to the top down to 30 seconds, and they were much less dramatic seconds at that. That awesome mid-century modern elevator that you see in Oregon City today, that thing was designed in 1954. I gotta tell you, I really thought it was ugly in 1975, but it's grown on me as the mid-century icons of the world have disappeared. Okay, back to the reading. The old one was starting to break down too much, the thing is, and ridership was dropping fast. Seeking something cheap, the city specified something plain and unadorned, but clearly they also wanted it to be sleek and modern. The low bid came in at $116,000, and the next year the new structure was unveiled. It's staffed with an elevator operator and takes 15 seconds to cover the distance from the bottom to the top, and yes, it is still free to ride. As far as I've been able to learn, no one has ever gotten stuck in it. But for those who don't want to take any chances, there is a nice set of permanent cement stairs leading up the bluff next to the elevator. There are 197 of them. This is a big improvement on the 700 or so that the pioneers had to deal with going up and down and around obstacles, but it's still a lot of steps. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.